are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7, as well as online, Ellen, everywhere.
Everywhere, all over the world on 1510wwbc.com. You can go to the radio station. You can hit that listen live button and hear us actually live and in person right on your whatever device that you're using. Or if you'd like to get any of our archive shows, we have them for the last 12 years on that site as well. And on our CETA Media Inc. website, as well as our Facebook pages. And 52 weeks a year times 13 years, that's a lot of people that we've met, that we've gotten involved in their lives. We found out what their passions are. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride.
Yeah, we're making a lot of friends.
We are.
We make friends like from here in Brevard, in the state of Florida, in every state and all over the world. And so for our listeners who are tuning in today, Ellen O'Neill is with me today. And Ellen is our co-host. She's been with us on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for 13 plus years. She is my right hand. I couldn't do the show without Ellen. We have Samantha that helps us with social media. And now we also have a star pupil with us. We have our resident guest, Allie Tambor. And Allie, thank you. And welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, too.
Thanks. I have been so enjoying these and feel very comfortable with you all.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yes,
so
thank
for
you.
Our listeners who don't know about our show, we sit here on Mondays and we speak about issues, things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida, around the nation and around the world. We're kind of like the social justice queens of lately. We've had shows about the environment, financial literacy. We talk about voting. We talk about to authors who have a story to tell. We also speak to people who want to talk about public education or charter schools or private schools, whatever it is. We sit here and we have a conversation. And today is no different. We have two great guests today. We have a business owner who woke up in California this morning, and she's calling in to speak about her digital business. Her name is Mary Bell. I don't know what the S is. We'll have to find it. Sason. And she's going to be talking about her business, Aim for Digital. And I'm not sure if you know this, Ellen, but so many people after COVID, they realize that they could have a business online.
That's
and
right.
They're doing well with it. So
the other part of my job been lately, the
That's
last
right.
couple of years.
And so Mary Bell is going to be talking to us in a minute, and she is going to talk to us about achieving your dreams, stop making excuses, don't wait for tomorrow. If you want to do it, do it today. And she'll talk to us about being in control of time, being your own boss, financial stability, and leaving a legacy for your children. So she's on hold. We'll go to her in a minute. Our second segment is going to be with Naomi Blamour. I'm saying that like a French woman. Naomi is a candidate for the Commissioner of Agriculture here statewide in Florida. And her political campaign is paying for the second segment. And we will speak with her in a little bit. She's going to talk to us a little bit about climate change, agriculture industry, why she's running for office, and things like that. And Ellen,
right.
Before we go to California and speak with Mary Bell, we have an ad that someone wanted us to run today.
Well, and she was supposed to be on the show. You remember Rebecca Jones. She is running for Florida's first congressional district here in Florida. She's the Florida scientist, the whistleblower, and mother who risked it all to fight corrupt government, cementing her place in history as our very own Florida heroine. An American hero, a scientist, and a mother fighting for honest government. And she had a quote on there, which I thought was really cool, on her website. When a storm rolls in, we need someone in charge who knows how to handle a crisis, whether that storm is a hurricane, a pandemic, or a housing market collapse. She will make sound policy decisions based on facts, science, and input from you. Florida deserves a first leader with integrity, honesty, and courage. So this is Rebecca Jones. And Rebecca Jones is running for, once again, Florida's first congressional district. So in the primaries tomorrow, if you so choose, you find out more about Rebecca Jones. You can find out more from her interview that she had with us earlier a few months ago.
Yes.
3-4 months ago here on the show. And actually, her political campaign paid for this advertisement as well.
Okay. And Mary Bell. All her friends call her Bell. She's on the phone. And you are calling in from California, correct?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
In California, good afternoon, Florida. Good evening.
How's the weather? That's the number one question when people want to get to know somebody. They say, how's the weather out there in California?
It's pretty hot, warm right now, like in the 80s. And later, it's going to be like 90s to sometimes it gets three digits.
Wow. So thank you for taking the time to call in. And what part of California are you calling in from?
Sacramento, the capital.
Wow. Well, we're very excited to have you on, and your business sounds very, very interesting, because we all know what happened after COVID. People realize that they can be very creative and bring in a steady stream of income in other ways. They don't have to go to a concrete building and clock in and clock out. So talk to us a little bit about yourself. Tell us where you were born, where you grew up. You're from the Philippines, obviously, based on your bio, but let us hear a little bit more about yourself and your family and why you started this business.
Yes, thank you again, Sita. My name is Mary Bell. Others call me Bell. I currently reside in California, which is Sacramento, with my family. Born and raised in Luzon City, Ilocos Norte, Philippines, I immigrated to the United States when I was 17 with my parents and 3 brothers. I graduated from California State University, Bakersfield, with a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, Accounting. My work experience include banking, private, public accounting, real estate, tax-related, and other sales-related. Like many, I've experienced being an employee for many years. Before I graduated from college, I was already working in the bank. I started as a customer service and got promoted to management. Then I worked in accounting, which is the private and public setting. Yes, the 9-to-5 grind. Not just an 8-hour job, there were even 10, 12, 14 hours of working daily and sometimes work on the weekends. Being in the business world, in accounting and or banking to be specific, I know others can resonate with me. No complaints. In fact, I enjoyed all of it. I was younger then. Then a few years later, I got married. Then later, we were blessed with 4 daughters.
Four? Did you just say four daughters?
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's it. That's amazing.
2 years apart. And my youngest are twins.
Twins? That's, somebody was coughing. You said twins?
Yes.
Oh, twice blessed, right?
Yes. Twice the fun.
So, Belle, what were you doing before you decided to start this business? You were in banking, and you must have had an aha moment that said, wait a minute, I can do something else. What happened to make you start this business, the digital business?
Yes, in the past, when you're an employee, you work for someone, and then all of a sudden you go to work, and then they tell you there's no more work, and they say bye. That alone dawned on me that you got to do something else.
Yes, and what you're doing now, you don't have to have experience, no selling involved. It's a proven system. Talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about the business and some of the goals that you wanted to meet when you started Aim for Digital.
Yes, when I was introduced to this business, it dawned on me, made me realize that I will be able to share with others to be able to empower others, and that alone did not make me think twice about joining and being a part of this amazing community of digital business owners. Also, like others, I like to have a flexible time to still have in control of my time. That is because I want to be there when my children need me. I want to decide when to retire and not just wait for the retirement age. To decide my financial stability with more than enough to live my chosen lifestyle. A very important one, to be able to build a legacy for my family, especially my children. A business which is transferable to them. To have a business that is automated, which works 24/7 in the background, even when I am doing something else. To have a business where there is no bugging of friends and relatives. To have a business that will create a passive revenue, not just one, but multiple revenue streams. Again, to be able to share with others around the world and thrive together.
Wow. And so what are some of the ways you advertise, and what are some of the things that the business actually, like, you do? Do you have clients that you advertise for? Do you do their social media marketing? Talk to us a little bit about the types of business that you have, that you advertise for.
Yes, we are, everything since everyone's already in social media, we do posting in social media. We leverage, since everybody, I mean, like Facebook and other platforms. So yes, we post there, and we invite people to register on our website for them to receive a 90-minute webinar for them to receive the information.
So
about the business.
So how long did it take you to set up this business, and where did you find your clients? Like, how did all that process come together?
Yes, it took me about 2 weeks. That's because most of the heavy lifting is done for me already.
Wow, that's, and how did you find your clients? Where did the client list come from?
Yes, so what happens is we do attraction marketing, and by posting, then they will contact us to our website, my www.maribelestation.com, and then from there they will enter their name and then valid email address, and they will receive the information.
So let's say someone is sitting at home and they're listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and they're hearing, you know, all the stuff you're doing, Belle. They would fill out a form, and then what? Do you have to have a special skill set in order to receive this training? And how does one get started once they listen to the webinar?
Yes, this is a legit business, not a get-rich-quick scheme. They don't need to be tech-savvy. They don't need to have any business experience. It's flexible time and work whenever and wherever. It's easy to follow. There's a step-by-step training that's so easy to follow. It's automated, and most of the heavy lifting is done. No inventory, no selling involved. We leverage on social media. Aren't we all on social media already? Might as well use and earn from it. Wow. And we are surrounded with mentors and coaches who are ready to help. A business where you work for yourself, but not by yourself.
So Aim for Digital is, I'm just trying to understand it so I make sure that our listeners understand it too. You're actually supporting people to learn how to do digital media for themselves. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. Oh, so you're kind of a coach or a setup team for any new business that's coming into that would be going into start working, right?
Yes.
That you would actually teach them how to do their own social media. Is that correct?
Yes. I will be their mentor, and also we have a training in the background where step by step it's followed, so it's easy.
Right. So how many social medias do you support all of them? And is your training supporting all of them? Because I keep saying all the time, Sita and I joke about it all the time. It's like that you start learning one of them, and then there's five more that come out. Like TikTok, like, blew me away.
Yes, we are allowed to do all the from Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, of course, the main one, the Facebook, and TikTok, we can also do that. Yes, almost all the platforms that you can imagine.
And wow. YouTube as well.
Right. So Belle, so basically what you're doing is there's free social media out there, and some people are sitting at home and they have a business and they're catching their tails to advertise, and you're saying, wait a minute, I will teach you through my webinar how to use these free social media platforms to advertise your business and increase your revenue. Is that it?
No. We do have... we are the mentor where we... on how to start a digital business. A digital business. An online business.
So what are some... Go ahead,
Belle. You were saying?
Yeah, they can check me out. My business Facebook... my Facebook business page is the Aim for Digital... And if they need more information, they can register at www.marybellesaison.com.
Well, you are amazing. I mean, it is amazing what you have done, because we are also getting an education here in Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Do you see yourself doing this digital marketing long term? What do you see yourself in, say, 5 years from today? Because apparently, I've been reading some of the testimonials online. People are thrilled with what you're teaching them, and they're actually getting a lot of results, and a lot of them are saying, man, I should have called her before, or should I signed up before. So what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now?
Yes, 5 years from now, I would be, I even less than that, I am looking forward to myself as one of the coaches, because at the moment, I am a mentor, but then as you grow, you become a coach. And I would like to empower more than what I am empowering now. Wow. And again, just to, I am just so excited. And just to describe this this business, it is very illuminating, enlightening, uplifting. It's a business where that is leading many, including myself, to also to an unexplainable personal transformation without even realizing it. A business which giving myself the chance to have that, you know, that time freedom, where at first it was just a dream, but now a part of my reality.
So what businesses are getting attracted to you, like that are looking for help? Is there any sort of like a theme of a business? Is it any specific topic or any specific trade that people are coming to you that you know?
No, the individuals that are coming to us is anybody from any walks of life.
Any industry?
It's individuals or families, like ordinary individuals, like their professions, background professions, they're registered nurses, engineers, doctors, attorneys, you name it, construction workers, laborers, hotel and management, hotel people, anybody who's interested to have their own business online and ready for themselves to create their dream of life, their lifestyle that they've been dreaming of.
So second part of that question is like I was saying before, it was like Facebook and Twitter and you know, there were the standard four that were out for so long, and then all of these others came in. Snapchat came in, TikTok came in. How are you and your coaches and your team staying up on all of the new social media that comes out? Because it seems like there's a new one every day.
Yes, sir. We have the training it's always updated, and we do have twice a week masterminds. So. And a place in our training online that they update, they're very up to date.
Wow. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we are speaking with Marybelle Saison, and she has founded a business called Aim for Digital. And it's amazing what you're doing, because you are actually helping people to stop sitting in their cars and driving to a brick and mortar building, and you're teaching them to work from home and let their computer help them and social media in managing and advertising their business and start from scratch.
Well, so, and building a brand is so important.
It is.
And what you're doing by teaching them of all of those social medias and all of that. Yeah, I used to call it your online real estate. It's like your house. So when you're at, when you have online real estate, you want to make sure that it's congruent. You know, that each one of them is matching the other. You're not saying something on one that you wouldn't be saying on another. And that in and of itself, because people go online all the time and they'll just start posting things and they don't realize the good or the damage that they're doing, right, Belle?
Yes.
Right.
So Belle, for someone to get a hold of you and have a mentor and a coach and build their business and thrive for a better tomorrow with their business, how lead us through the process. Somebody fills out the form. It's a data entry form. And then tell us what you do from that point to get them involved in the webinar and how the coaching starts from at that point.
Yes. Like you said, the first step would be they will go to my website at www.marybellsason.com, and to enter their name and a valid email address, then they will receive an email from me for them to be able to watch that complimentary 90-minute webinar, and from that they will get information on how to start the digital business.
So people just have to take a leap of faith and believe in you and the mentors and the coaches that you have, and then you will lead them from there. Because there are people who are struggling and facing many challenges. Some folks have a full-time job and they want to do something on the side, and they just don't have that time. So you will coach them how to use social media to help their business. Tell us some of the other services that Aim for Digital offers.
Yes, we do. The important things they need to do is for them to register on my website, and then everything will be the information will be sent to them for them to watch that 90-minute webinar, for them to get more information, and from that time they will get followed up emails.
Okay, and give us the you already gave us the website. Give it to us one more time. And do you do any public speaking? If people wanted to book you for an event and have you speak to like a women's group, or maybe people are having a luncheon and they want to have you speak, do you do any public speaking at all?
Okay, to be honest with you, not at the moment, but I am in planning to do that.
You should, because you said you were nervous, but you're not. But what you're teaching us is coming across loud and clear, and we really appreciate what you're doing, because if there is an industry out there for everyone, and I think you have found yours, and it's wonderful what you're doing, because we need people like you to help us who just don't know how to use social media properly. So give us the website one more time.
Yes. www.marybellsason.com. That's my full name. S is my middle initial. So marybellsason.com.
Wow.
And they can also check me on my Facebook business page at facebook.com/aimfordigital.
Yeah, I noticed once I liked your page, I was getting your feed a lot. And I've been looking at a lot of the stuff, and you've been posting about your comfort food. I see that, you know, I like pancit. A lot of my Filipino friends have made that for me. What is your comfort food?
Yes, if you saw the one that I recently put.
Yes.
Yeah, one is, but the adobo.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you've heard. Adobo with I said pinakbet is a combination of like mixed vegetables, but it's sauteed with a lot, you know, garlic, with tomatoes, with ginger, and those are my comfort foods.
Yes.
To be honest with you.
So Belle, there are also a lot of people like the elderly, for example, that want to learn how to use. Some people are just scared of using online. They just don't want to put their credit card. They don't want to put their ATM, but they do want to get their groceries delivered to them. They want to get their medications delivered to them. Do you also help people who are just fearful of the internet? And I see Danny, our producer, he's shaking his head. He's like, yes, that is true. Do you also help people who have a phobia of using the internet and social media to just, say, deliver groceries?
To be honest with you, no.
It might be something for you to explore later on, because I'm telling you, like here in Florida, a lot of people would like to have their medications delivered or their groceries or even food, and they're like, I'm afraid to go on the internet and put my business out there. How do you put people at ease that it's okay to have an online business and do things online? I'm sure you have had that before where someone is fearful of using services online to get results.
Yes, because of this online business that we are that we have. To just to mention, the age of the people who joined us, it's between from 18 years old to 82 years old. That's how friendly the training we have. It's step by step, and we have members up to 82 years old. So it's not scary.
So obviously that's for all the iProducts, so all the Apple products, as well as all of the Android and Google products that are out there. So you, I'm sure, have a breadth of all of that as well, since so many things are changing.
Yeah, life has changed, right? Even you could go to school totally online.
Right, and how about connecting things too? Because I know that there's a lot of businesses sometimes that have trouble connecting their Facebook pages to their phones, or, you know, and kind of like making it so that it's a nice little loop.
Yeah, the mobile and all that everything, all those are in our training.
Wow, you covered a lot of stuff. So in your training, people will find on Aim for Digital, if you're looking for change, if you're looking for growth, if you're looking to retire, if you want more freedom, if you want to empower yourself and others, we will find all that if somebody registers for your webinar on Aim for Digital.
Yes.
This is awesome, because, you know, I know of so many people who are retired and sitting at home, and they do have ideas, and they've got their computer and their smartphones at their disposal, but they're fearful of starting. So if you would give us a website one more time, we will post that on our website so people can go on and contact you if they would like to get some additional help.
Yes, my number, www.marybellsason.com. That's spelled MARYBELLESSAYSON.com.
Marybelle, you are unstoppable. You have taken a business that's been just floating around right there, and you've decided to use social media and help other people. And you did it all by sitting down one day and saying to yourself, I don't want to be in banking anymore. I don't want to work for somebody else. So while you're out jogging and having coffee and cooking and relaxing, your business is working for you. And how does other people get involved if they wanted to do this type of business? I see you're also encouraging and empowering and motivating other people to have their own online businesses as well. How does one do that?
Yes, for them to, again, to join, if they decide, they go to my website and register their name and their valid email address to get more information.
Allie, can you believe this is happening? I mean, it's amazing that people could sit at home and do this.
Yeah, what makes me feel good is that it gives me a sense of calm that there are tools, that there's somebody to reach to help and to tell you it'll be okay. And that's nice to have that kind of business.
Right, and she's teaching you. Marybelle, you know what? You've opened my eyes and ears to a business opportunity and an advertising opportunity that I didn't think people can do, because Ellen and I always talk about social media. We talk about Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, but you're saying you could do all this in your webinar and teach someone how to use the social media platforms. And as a new platform come up, you're adding it on to what you're teaching.
Yes, we do have the, because of the twice twice a week masterminds that the community has of like-minded digital business owners. Yes, they're always up to date. They follow up. You know, they check on the training if there's need to be changed or updated, and they always update our training sites.
And here's a question of the hour, because all of us know we have to call our children when we need help on social media. Do you have the four girls helping and your family members? Because I would think that you didn't learn all this overnight. You've had to have the kids help at some point.
Sometimes they do help me out, but I'm not that young anymore, and we weren't used to, you know, to the online social medias back then. So sometimes they help me, but all of this are in our training sites. Once they register and enter their name and their valid email address, and then they start watching our complimentary, you know, like 90-minute webinar, and then they do the next step and all that, then we have a training site for all of those.
Right. And I would think that your business is international. People can sign up from anywhere in the world. It doesn't just have to be from the United States.
Yes, that's the beauty of automation. And yes, our reach is worldwide. We have people from Philippines, Kenya, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, USA, you name it. It's the whole world.
Wow. Fantastic.
It is.
What an education you've given us today, Mary Bell. Bell, as she likes to be called.
Yes.
So we will post all of that information, all of your information, on our Facebook pages as well as our website. And we are going to take a quick station break and listen to our sponsors. And we'll be right back after these messages with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency room. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And as you can see, the World Wide Web, we just had someone call in from California.
That's right, www.1510wwbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button, or you can hit the On Demand button and get all of our archive shows from the last years of us being on the show here, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Two guests times 52 weeks, that's 104 guests or so a year, times 13 years, that's a lot of people.
It sure is. And you know, Ellen, our show here, we're just so happy that people take the time to join us on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends every Monday. But our resident guest, before we go to our second segment, Naomi Blumer, our guest, our resident guest, Ali Tambor, hey, has an announcement to make that will take less than a minute.
Yes, I have a quick announcement. You all should be knowing. If you don't, we're going to say it again. Tomorrow is voting day. There are several ways to ensure that you can get there. One of them is to take the mail-in ballot that maybe didn't hit the post office like it should, and they will take it from you, or vote there.
Okay.
And
so that's it.
It'll happen.
So in other words, primary day is tomorrow. Get your buns to the voting booth and vote. And we know a friend that didn't vote. We're going to make him go out and vote. So anyways, our second segment, Naomi Esther Blumer is on the phone. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about why she decided to run for Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Okay, Naomi, take it away.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Naomi Esther Blumer, and I'm a candidate for Florida Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. I come from very humble beginnings. I lost my dad at 16. I lost my mom at 18. And at 21, I took on the responsibility of raising my three younger siblings. And today, I am so proud to say that I am the first woman of color in the history of this state to run for Florida Commission of Agriculture and Consumer Services. It's an honor to be here with you, and I look forward to sharing my platform with all of you today.
And you are heating up our airwaves today too, my friend. I'm Woo-hoo! So grateful that you took the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So let's talk a little bit about your platform. Like most elected officials, agriculture commissioners can bring their own projects and their own ideas to the job. What are some of the things you want to do as Commissioner of Agriculture?
Great question, Sita. So first and foremost, I would like to give the listeners a brief history of this seat for Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. In the 1800s, when they were establishing the Constitution for the state of Florida, it was not called Commissioner of Agriculture. It was called Commissioner of Immigration. And so I quickly tied that story to my grandmother, who was a Haitian American who came here in the 1980s, could not read, write, or understand English, but she needed to make a living. And she found that living in Immokalee, picking tomatoes. She was a farm worker, or what we call in Creole, or little travail dans jardin. We call farm jardin. And so who would have been the wiser that a person working in the farm, an older woman in her 50s, a senior citizen, was actually sowing a seed so that her granddaughter could one day run for Commissioner of Agriculture. And so knowing that my grandmother was a farm worker, the first thing that I want to do, I want to utilize my 20-plus years of experience in retail management, commercial banking, and as a nonprofit leader to provide access to farm owners and farm laborers. We want to ensure that they have access to what? Access to capital. Small farmers in the state of Florida have been overlooked for too long, and it's time that they get an advocate in Tallahassee who's going to ensure that they have access to capital. That's number one. Number two, when we talk about our children in K to 12th grade, the entire state of Florida offers free school breakfast and lunch to these children. And it is through the Department of Agriculture. I will ensure that every child in K to 12 gets a nutritional breakfast and lunch. Number three, concealed weapon license. Right now, our country is being devastated with mass shooting. We want to ensure that those who have the license to carry a concealed weapon understand their responsibilities and they hold true to those responsibilities. Last but not least, Florida has become unaffordable for everyday Floridians. We cannot afford the food. We cannot afford gas, and we cannot afford housing. One of the things that I want to do is expand on the community farming program, which already exists. And I want to ensure for every family that desires to, they will have the education and they will have the seed necessary in order to plant their own fruits and vegetables in their very own backyard.
I love it. Your platform is your platform is great, and you're so right. You know, there's so many people that when you talk about food and education, they don't know where food comes from. Some people don't even know what a strawberry plant looks like. They don't even know what seasons blueberries and tomatoes and radishes and cucumbers and, you know, eggplants. They just don't know. So how would you educate the public to think about where their food is coming from? People see the food on the table, but they don't realize what a job it is for the Commission of Agriculture and the role you all play in getting that food from the ground to the table.
A great question, Sita, and I want the people to understand that the Commission of Agriculture obviously oversees all agriculture in the entire state of Florida, and agriculture is the second largest economic driver behind tourism. It is currently a $100 billion industry, and that's very important for us to know. It's just not some other industry that we should overlook. Now, how am I going to ensure that people are educated? Right now, there are four regional directors for the state of Florida that report to the Commission of Agriculture. And I will ensure that these four directors, they are on the ground. They are connected with the key organizers and the key organizations in the community to bring the information to you directly. And the community will then communicate to them what their needs are, what resources they need from the department, and we will funnel those information to the regional directors. That's number one. Number two, our website is always going to be a great point of reference for you guys. Nevertheless, and I know a lot of people, when they get on the website, it just seems like it's a lot of information. What I am going to do the first 90 days that I am elected Commission of Agriculture, I am going to put in place community conversations where I am going to start traveling the entire state and going to the communities and really sitting down with them and having the conversation, breaking it down to layman terms, my role, what I desire to do, and how they, as residents of the state of Florida, can connect with the department and get the resources that they need.
Wow. So, you know, like a lot of people, when they run for office, there's always a platform, right? People say, well, I care about public education. I care about the environment. I care about public housing. They care about wages, health insurance. And we all listen to the candidates that call in on our show, or we meet them in person. But a lot of them speak about the climate and they don't understand what the climate change is. So since you're running for Commission of Agriculture, can you talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about how climate change affects our state's agriculture? Because a lot of people are climate change deniers, but that climate change affects the food we eat. It affects the industry that you want to work in. So talk to us a little bit about the climate change and how it affects the agriculture industry.
That's a very great question, Sita. And living in Miami-Dade County, for everyone, and I know you guys are in Brevard County, but when we're talking about climate change, one of the things we're talking about is sea level rise, where the sea is literally rising up and taking over land that has already been built on. And there are some parts of Miami-Dade County that in some years to come, they are projecting that the sea is going to totally take over. And I want people, and I'm using Miami-Dade County as an example for people to understand, although you may not understand everything that's happening with the climate, and you may not understand of everything that's happening with the environment, but for a moment, picture in your mind if you lived in an area where the water can literally rise out of the ocean and take over land, and take over apartment buildings, take over homes, take over businesses, take masses of area that has already been developed. That is one aspect of climate change. And even if you can't understand all of it, but you could, you can conceptualize in your mind just watching water take over developed area. And why is this happening? This is happening because of the way we've treated our environment. You know, it happens because of the pollution. It happens because large companies are not necessarily held accountable for how they discard their waste. Every single one of us can play a role in actually reducing this crisis.
I think it comes from, you know, each individual. Every family should be having family discussions on a daily basis about, you know, education and housing and jobs and what are you going to do for the day? What are we going to eat tonight? And as you talk about stuff, you think about stuff, right? And the reason why you said it's a great question is because I remember watching the Hindi films, and the people would pray for water because there was drought and the farmers couldn't farm. And when the farmers couldn't farm and there was no food for people to eat, when the rivers dried up, there was nowhere to wash clothes. When the rivers dried up and the land was dry, there was nowhere for the roots to take hold and for bodies to be nourished. So, you know, it's like we're all in this together, right? It really takes a village. So, you know, one of the questions that I had for you that someone told me to ask you today was, you know, we are seeing so many politicians making efforts to curb undocumented immigration. And of course, that seems to be like a shortage in workers for jobs. As Commissioner of Agriculture, you can't set policy, but you can talk a little bit about the shortages of workers to pick the crops and to do these jobs. So what are your thoughts about the people that pick the crops from the ground to the table and the shortage of workers here in the state of Florida?
Sita, you said something that is very key, and I want to reiterate that. As Commissioner of Agriculture, I will not be a legislator. I will be part of the executive branch. And just for everyone to completely understand, the state of Florida is run or managed by four individuals who are all elected. You elect your governor, you elect the CFO, which is the person responsible for the finances of the state. You elect an attorney general, which is then a lawyer who defends the state and the people of the state. And then you elect the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services, who manages a budget of about $1.9 billion, who oversees 3,600 employees, and who also has the responsibility to ensure that we are not taken advantage of as consumers. And now when you're looking at the role and you're looking at immigrants and immigrants coming into the country, and the fact that I already gave you the history that it was first called Commission of Immigration, I am not a legislator and I will not be putting laws together. I will be a manager, I will be a regulator, and I will be an advocate for the 22 million residents of the state of Florida, knowing that the state has built a $100 billion industry on the back of immigrants. Anything we can do to ensure that the immigrants that come in, that work off farms, ultimately get their citizenships, and the ones that are fleeing countries to come here for a better life, we should be on top of that. We should be the ones spearheading that. As I stated to you, my grandmother, a senior citizen, came here in the 1980s, in her 50s, spent 10 years working the field. This is how she made a living, and this is how she became an American citizen, and ultimately invested in a woman like me. So I will not shy away from ensuring that immigrants that come here and that want to work in the industry of agriculture, I will not shy away from advocating for them.
Right, and you know, the thing is, Naomi, too, one doesn't have to be elected to higher office to want to see changes, right? I mean, we all care about the produce that are rotting in the fields. You have to just be a concerned human being to understand that there's watermelons and cantaloupes and tomatoes and blueberries and pecans and, you know, pumpkins, which I love, that are rotting in the fields. And so one just have to care about our state and nourishing our bodies to think about that. So we only have about 4 minutes left for the segment. And I wanted to ask you, what are the biggest issues that the Agriculture Commissioner will face in the next 4 years? What do you see yourself facing once elected?
Well, the first thing is the issue with our small farmers. Right now, the industry of agriculture has the highest rate of suicide. People in the industry, farmers are literally taking their lives. Why is that? I truly believe it's because we have walked away from valuing the work that they do, valuing what the land can produce for us and what it means for us, and we've gone totally in the direction of technology. And my role would be to ensure that I bring this department, I bring the commissioner down to everyday people so that we begin to value the farmers. We begin to value the harvest season. We begin to understand how we can partner with them during their season to ensure that it is a profitable season, and that we begin to celebrate them. We begin to celebrate the work that they have been doing for decades. The second thing that is a huge problem is food deserts. Sarita, there are some people who have to drive 10 miles before they get to a supermarket, and we have to deal with that. The way I am going to deal with that, again, is through community farming, partnering up with the 67 counties in the state, identifying empty land that is laying dormant, that is not being utilized, and utilizing those land, planting fruits, planting vegetables, and having individuals have access to that. The third thing that I will always, always continue to advocate for as a woman, I am going to advocate for our right to choose. And we know that in the state of Florida, right now, it is being challenged on every side. And when you put women at harm's way, you are putting children at harm's way. You're putting families at harm's way. You are putting our future at harm's way. In this state, women need to feel comfortable, safe, and secured, and to know that they have the ability to make the right decisions and what is for them and their future.
Correct. And women also make the decision what to cook. Most of the time, you'll go home and mama has that food. So you're right. Women make, you know, we are the ultimate decision maker, whether the fellas know it or not. But Naomi, we just want to tell our listeners, we're speaking with Naomi Esther Blumier. She is the first woman of color in the history of our state to qualify to run for Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. So Naomi, while you're speaking about your grandmother, I'm thinking about, you know, my experience in life as well. And farming and ranching, they're not easy jobs. How do we get more young people to go into farming? And so many people want to just live in the city where it's comfortable, right? Where you have everything by the flick of a light switch. But farming, bringing that food from the ground to the table to nourish our bodies, I mean, my God, it takes a lot. So how can we convince more people to go into farming?
We have to start at the local school level. Right now, there is a program called From School to Farm. And in many counties, they are actually teaching the kids how to farm from a very early age. And that's something that we need to ensure that is incorporated throughout the state of Florida, that children understand what the soil feels like. They have an experience with it. They start planting in their backyards, in their schools. They start seeing the tree pop up in the ground, and they start to look at the vegetables. They look like the strawberries, pick them and eat it. That's how we ensure that all together we build a stronger industry. You got to get the kids involved. And then it's also going to be about my job, my role, as I educate families who want to farm and in their own household, them having those conversations around the kitchen table where mom goes into the backyard and pulls out some fruits and vegetables and everybody starts cutting it up together. That might spike the child's interest in saying, you know what, I actually think that I want to go and study this. And hopefully advocating for providing some tuition assistance for our students who want to go into agriculture and incentivize them to go into agriculture. This is something we're going to have to fight on every single level, beginning with the school system, into the home, and then right back out into higher education.
So Naomi, there are 17 sustainable development goals that's written out by the United Nations, and I see that you also have that as a focal point. So let's talk a little bit. I mean, we talk about no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, a quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, affordable healthcare, decent work and human growth, but reducing inequality. One of those I wanted to ask you really quick, somebody just texted me, what do you think about decriminalizing cannabis?
So excellent. I don't know if you know this, but on my website, you will find the 17 sustainable development goals on my website, because I truly believe in them. And I believe that if we want to move towards a more successful and sustainable state and country, this is definitely the goal. As it relates to decriminalizing marijuana, I believe that the state of Florida needs to go in the direction of the 21 other states that have already totally legalized it. Furthermore, I truly believe that as we move forward to legalizing it and getting it completely legalized, we should turn over the sentencing for those that are currently sitting in prison for marijuana. Listen, marijuana is now, the hemp industry is now a $4 billion industry. It is being sold on the market. We can no longer incarcerate people for it. It is unjust, and I will be an advocate for that. Even further, I want the listeners to know that as Commissioner of Agriculture, I will also be a member of the governor's cabinet. And on the cabinet, I will have one vote on the clemency board. And the director of the clemency board also will work in line with us. And Amendment 4 is something that I am going to fight tooth and nail. Once the person has served their time in a federal or state prison and they have paid their debt to society, we need to restore their rights and we need to allow them to go back into society and reduce the rate of recidivism in this state.
Right.
Thank you.
Naomi, we have 1 minute left and I wanted to ask you really quick, do you have any endorsements or any events coming up?
Excellent question. You know, you hit all of the questions on the head. First and foremost, yes, I do have several endorsements, and I would like to let all of the listeners know that I was endorsed by the Tampa Bay Times, which is a huge media outlet for the state of Florida, and they quote and stated, I am the Democrats' best shot to win the primary and to beat the Republicans come November. I have also been endorsed by the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for the state of Florida. I've been endorsed by vice mayors. I've been endorsed by council men and women. I've been endorsed by commissioners. I've also been endorsed by Emerge, which is a national Muslim organization. They believe that I am the best person to lead this department for Commissioner of Agriculture. And listen, I want to let you guys know that this is not by accident. You know, an organization like Engage, they endorsed me because they looked at me. They looked at the history. I currently serve as a commissioner on the Planning Commission in my city.
And we will make sure, unfortunately, Naomi, we're running out of time, but we will make sure that all of this information is shared with all of our listeners here on